too.
Praise God.
Check, 1, 2, check. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. We'll get some lights on us now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Happy future Father's Day. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and start praise and worship together this morning. Praise the Lord.
Preparing the way of the Lord.
flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
Out of Zion, to Zion.
up with wings like eagles. Not grow weary when I run. When I walk, I won't grow faint. Yes, I will renew my strength because I wait on the ticket. I mount up.
sing all with me.
Situation at all.
Only you can do what no man can do.
Only you can do what no man can do.
Only you can do what no man can do.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!
together, oh Lord.
Oh Lord, my God.
Oh, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
Oh Jesus, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
For you are my God.
You are my God.
Oh yes, Lord.
Oh Lord. There is nothing you can.
We are grateful, so thankful. Jesus, thank you for Ada. We are grateful, so thankful. Jesus, thank you for Ada.
To they're like Abraham. He obeyed the Lord, and the God declared that through him all people on earth would be blessed. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken unto of him. Genesis chapter 18, verses 18 to 19.
They are strong like Caleb. He was still full of strength 45 years after he confessed. They could take up the mountain when all the other spies said they were like grasshoppers before the children of Ammon. Joshua 14, verse 11. As yet, I am as strong as this day. On the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in.
They are like Joshua. He confessed they could take up the mountain and was chosen by God to lead his people to the promised land. He believed in God and commanded the sun not to set until their enemies were defeated. Joshua 10, verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in sight of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Algeb.
Centurion man, he recognized that the authority of Jesus and his servant got healed by the word of Jesus. Jesus also testifies of his great faith. Matthew 8, verse 8 to 10. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith.
Let's talk about Peter, who he once denied Jesus but repented and afterward received the Holy Ghost, preached, and 3,000 souls were added to the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 and 41. The Bible says that Peter continue preaching for a long time, urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000.
Our fathers are like Cornelius, a devout man who feared God with all his house, giving much alms to people and pray to God. Despite not being Jews, he received a visitation of an angel, and he and his household were saved. About the 90th hour of day, he saw clearly in his vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Acts 10, verse 3, verse 4.
In conclusion, our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins. So also, our fathers love us and guide us with fatherly instruction. Proverbs 1, 8, and 9 says, My son, hear your father's instructions, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Furthermore, Proverbs 12:2a says that a good man obtains favor from the Lord, and so do our fathers. They are good and receive favor from the Lord. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. God bless you.
Daddy, we are grateful.
We are grateful.
Thank you so very much. Happy Father's Day to all our fathers. Amen. And fathers to be. God is good. Welcome to this very special time together this morning as we celebrate the goodness of God together and bask in that which He has for us as His people. The God we serve is faithful. He's a good God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, before we have our time of intercession this morning, let me say one thing to fathers and as a father, to the generation coming after us. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, it says something very interesting. And I think it's a life lesson, because a lot of men today are soft. And they don't have the pizzazz to live life to the full. We're raising a generation of people who want to work for 4 hours a day and 4 days in the week. They just want to play games. And if anything hard ever comes their way, they collapse like a deck of cards. But the Word of God says to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, it says to us that we should endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. This is God talking to us. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But then still says, we need to endure hardness. Hard times build character. You cannot escape hard times. Life is not always easy. It takes people that do the hard thing to succeed in life. Amen? It doesn't matter what age you are in, you have to endure hardness. You know, we sit behind or in front of televisions or laptops or iPads, some device, watching people playing hockey or football or boxing or what they call that fight. Yes, that one. You know, when that first came out, you know, everybody wanted to ban it, right? But that's what everybody watches now. Excluding me, the rest of you. The fact is, you don't become a footballer without practicing hardness. The guy that you see playing out there at 5 a.m. is busy hauling big bags of stuff. He's running track, pushing, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Gets into the field, gets knocked down so many times. Sometimes they dislocate parts of their bodies and they mend and they go through all of that. And you see them playing for an hour or two, and they are hauling all that money and driving all those fancy cars, and you say, what are they paying those guys for? For all those times they were waking up and running track and doing all kinds of crazy stuff that you did not see. That's what brought them to that place. If you and I are going to make it in life, you must understand that hard things happen and you got to fight through it. Amen? You got to fight through it. You don't fall apart. Oh, mommy, mommy. No mommy is coming. Mommy is not coming. You got to go through it. So I say, I'm going to go through it. I'm going to live life.
And anything that stands in my way is moving. Amen? Endure. That means outlast it. When you're aching and aching and aching and aching, and it looks like every muscle in your body is about to die, push. Hallelujah. Amen? Just keep on pushing. You are building resistance, and resilience is being established in your life. We've got to be resilient people. Amen? The word of God says, resist the devil and he will flee. If you want to see the backside of the devil, you've got to have resistance. And you resist because you know where you are going. Praise the Lord. That's where I'm going, and you're not going to stop me. Every believer has to have that. Oh, they're persecuting me. So, you're the first? There are people who are dying for their faith. If I do this, they're going to fire me. Well, sometimes you need to be fired so you can step up higher. Amen? Endure hardness. As a good soldier. A good soldier doesn't become a good soldier because he's now in the war front. He's a good soldier because of all the things that he's been doing before he put on that uniform and went out to the battleground. Amen? Young people, are you listening? Praise the Lord. I see you waving over there. That means you're listening. Good. Endure hardness. Sometimes God will bring it your way just to build you up. Amen? He's not trying to kill you. When you're pushing all those dumbbells, I don't know why they call them dumbbells, but they're smarting your muscles up. Those dumbbells. Get those muscles wired up and build something. Build something. Amen? This week, as you go out and you face challenges, remember to be a victor, you have to have to go through a battle. Amen? Warriors war. Praise the Lord. Are there any warriors here? Okay. Go out there. Be a good soldier. Amen? Hallelujah. Just your presence alone scares the enemy. It says, oh, what is going to happen to us today? You may look weak on the inside, or on the outside rather, but on the inside of you, be tough as nails. Amen? Go through it. Diamonds don't become diamonds that cut through without hardness. Go through it. Pearls come out because the oyster decides, hey, I'm going to turn this pain to something precious. Produce pearls. You know the gates of heaven? Big pearls. That's to remind you. See? Pearls. All that hardness brought you here. Be that. Make godly decisions and stick with it. Amen? That's enough message for us to go home now. Praise the Lord. You're not going home yet. Don't worry. You're staying here with me. I'm going to ask Pastor Pat to come lead us in prayer. And as she prays, let's all engage our faith to receive from our Heavenly Father blessings from above. Amen? Pastor Pat. Children, come. Father's blessing on her. I proclaim the Father's blessing.
And complete in Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you, Father God. We are the healed of the Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Mercy and goodness is upon us in the name of Jesus. We are light. Darkness has been removed in the mighty name of Jesus. Great and mighty works you will do in each and every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. O Rimiki Sata Ramatudukuribiki Sata Rabashanda, the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. You can do for us that no man can do. Even the physicians, they are taught of the Lord also. But Lord, you are the ultimate God. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no God like you. Rich in your goodness. Oh, praise you, Jesus. We walk complete in you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for these children. They are the head and not the tail. They excel in everything that they do. Greatness is upon them in the name of Jesus. They walk in truth, in the perfect will of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. The angels of the Lord surround them and protect them from all evil. We thank you, Father God, as you're grounded in the Word of God. These young children and the ones that are going to be young women and men, they are strong in the Word to fight off the enemy. We say they are becoming the warriors of God Almighty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, your ways are not our ways. Heaven is high above, and your ways are different from ours. And Father God, you have a way of touching each and every one of us where we need our hearts touched. Touch them mightily. And Father God, we say we are healed. We are healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Ore meke shata rabakusata. We stand steadfast in your faith. In the name of Jesus, the faith of God. We are the trees of righteousness. In the name of Jesus. And we produce fruit. In the name of Jesus. As we step forward this time of the year, in the mighty name of Jesus, we say things are changing in the world in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father God Almighty, that there's a change that's taking place. We ask you for a blessing upon the teachers here in the name of Jesus. that they're blessed and they're coming in and going out, and you're granting them much wisdom what to do, Father God, as they teach the young children every Sunday in Jesus' name. They will have creative abilities that they've never had before. Creativity will flow in these teachers in the mighty name of Jesus. Wisdom, more wisdom over them in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Pat, for leading us in prayer. Mama is not here today. We came back from our last trip out, and she came down with a hack. And she's been coughing and sneezing and whatever else, but she's okay, and she didn't want to come and be coughing here, you know, so I said, that's fine, just get rested, because we have a whole slew of things this next week that we are going to be engaged in, so she definitely needs your prayers. We all do. The Word of God says we should pray one for the other. Amen? Praise the Lord. And this morning, before I began sharing the Word of the Lord with us, I just want to pray for Brother Ashish and his family. You know, they are remembering the loss of their mom from 2 years ago today. And I'd like for us to just pray for their family right now. There's some of them listening from different parts of the world. Father, I just lift up the Ashish family who lost their mother, Asha Saka, on the 16th of June. 2022. Ask, O God, that your peace will garrison their hearts. And the Lord, O God, that you will help them through this difficult experience they've gone through. But Lord, O God, that they will come closer and closer to you. That each one of them will surrender their lives to you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I declare this day in Jesus' name that the lines of iniquity be destroyed off of their lives. And Lord, O God, that the fervent faith that Jesus Christ our Lord gives will begin even now to explode within them. So, Lord, O God, that each one will stand as trees of righteousness for your glory and honor. We bless the memory of their mother. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Sunday last, I started sharing with us from the book of Hosea, chapter 10, and verse 2. Hosea 10 and verse 2. I am not going to dwell, or rather 12, Hosea 10, 12. I'm not going to dwell too much on what I talked about last week, because we've got to move on. But part of what we talked about last week was primarily about investing in ourselves. The Word of God says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. And we said, as we explore the Word of God, that we have to embrace the righteousness of God.
And from the position of you recognizing that God has made you worthy, because righteousness is about having right standing in the presence of God. From that position, you need to declare reception of every good thing for your life. Amen? But if you are coming to God from a sense of unworthiness, I am not good enough, I will never be good enough, rather than where God has placed you, then you will not be able to scale through the issues that face everyone in this life. You've got to invest in yourself. Invest the word of God into your spirit. He says, when we do that, we'll reap in mercy. This sowing to yourself is not based on your goodness, but based on the gift of righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you. In other words, it's a time when you are not confirming all of your weaknesses or confirming all of your fallings, but rather affirming the righteousness or the goodness of God that He has spoken into your life, and by that you receive the mercy of God. The prodigal son that left home was received because of the righteousness extended to him by his father. Praise God. The father gave him access. He was coming, but if the father refused, he's done. And even when the father became very aware that the reason he came back was not because he was fully repentant, but because he came back for the staff, the father shunned that, put that aside. Be reminded, he came and said, when it came back to his mind, he said, my father's servants are doing fine. Let me go back and I'll tell him to make me a servant. The reason he came back to be a servant was because he wanted the stuff. He didn't want to be hungry anymore. Hello? It wasn't because he wondered, oh God, my father, I really messed up. Can you take me back as your son? No, he wanted this stuff. But his father granted him righteousness. And because he made the decision to come back to have access, mercy was extended to him. He reaped mercy. Amen? When you make the decision to go towards God, God will extend mercy to you, to anyone. Amen? If Hitler cried out to God in the last moment and said, oh God, I've messed up, have mercy, God will save him. Even with all the atrocities, God will forgive. Why? Because God said, if someone is asking for forgiveness, he sins against you and asks for forgiveness 70 times, 7, in one day, you're obligated to forgive him. Now, God is not going to ask you to do something that he can't do or won't do. Hello? So mercy is available to everyone. If you are willing to come to God out of a pure heart and say, God, have mercy, he will grant mercy. So it says, break the fallow ground, those areas in your life that you've left fallow. You've not broken those grounds. It says, break it open. In a sense, God is saying, face your problems. Face up to it. Because until you face up to it, I can't do anything for you. If I want to go from here to Toronto, I first of all must locate where I am now. Because the way to Toronto from Winnipeg is not the same way to Toronto from Montreal. Hello? If I go in the direction of Winnipeg to Toronto from Montreal, I'll be in the Atlantic. You gotta locate where you are. Acknowledging that you're a sinner doesn't mean that you are embracing that as your tag. It's you acknowledging the fact that, yes, I'm a sinner and I need help. Break that ground. If you're an alcoholic, Lord, I'm an alcoholic, I need deliverance. Mercy will come. But if you are boozing and you have an elbow problem, you know what an elbow problem is? Like this. And you're not acknowledging it, you're not ever going to get free. You'll be busy fighting and chastising people that are telling you, you got a problem, man. No, acknowledge where you are now and then ask God to take you from there. Amen? Praise the Lord. So break those fallow grounds, for it is time. Someone say, for it's time. Say it again, for it is time. One more time, for it's time. To do what? Seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and do what? Rain righteousness upon you. That means God is going to give you abundance of access. He's going to give you keys. Not just a key, but keys. Hallelujah. You're going to have a relationship that is meaningful, that's impactful, that's transformative. Praise the Lord. But you have to sow. You have to, first of all, sow to yourself righteousness. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. In righteousness. In righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23 and 24. Proverbs 23, 24. Proverbs 23, 24. The word of God says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Now, this is a word to fathers and to their children. But how many of you know that we are all children of the Most High God and that he really is our father? And if our father is to greatly rejoice, it must be because we are righteous. Amen? So what is that? That means that you having access to God gives him great joy. The Bible says when a sinner repents and is saved, all heaven rejoices. There's celebration because of one soul that is transformed. And God, our Heavenly Father, the Father of the righteous, greatly rejoices. And it says, and he that begetteth a wise child, he that begetteth a wise child, he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Who is a wise child? The wise child is the one who comes and hears God's word and does it. For Jesus, our Lord, said, I'll liken a wise man to the one who comes, hears my words, and does it. He says, a foolish man comes, hears my words, but doesn't do it. That man builds his house on sand. But the one who builds his house on the rock is the one who comes, hears my words, and does it. When we come and we hear the word of God and we do it, we are wise. Amen? Now, if you come and you hear the word of God and don't do it, it's not because you were not granted the gift of righteousness. It's that you have not exercised that righteousness. The word of God says that Jesus died for us all and became the propitiation for our sins. 2 John 2. Became the propitiation, the satisfaction. In other words, God gave to every man. When God looks at mankind, he sees people that are righteous, that he has given access to. But not everybody taps into that gift. And therefore, not everybody experiences that grace of God's righteousness. God gives rain and sunshine to everyone, to the good, bad, and ugly. Amen? But until I accepted the love of God, I couldn't walk in the righteousness of God. Now, the word of God says, it's not that I'm deaf and I can't hear you, and I'm blind and I can't see you, or my hands are short and I can't reach you. It says it's your sins that have separated you from me. Remember the word of God says that? Well, if that is altogether true, and it is, then how is it that God hears me when I sin and I'm a sinner and I pray and I ask for salvation? It is therefore also true that the same God who says, you keeping me deaf to listening to you, but if you say the right thing, I'm going to hear you. Praise the Lord. If you say, help, there I am. But if you're an arrogant fool, acting like you got everything made and you are all of it, I'm sorry, I'm not going to hear you. Because I don't listen to fools. Fools that act like there is no God. It's the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. And would you know it? When you and I don't believe or trust in God, we become fools. Oh, come on, come on. You become a fool when you don't believe God.
Have mercy, Lord.
Because you're saying, there is no God that can solve this problem. You just made yourself a fool. You came, you heard God's word, but didn't believe it. But a wise one comes, hears God's word, and goes out doing something with what he knows. You don't need to know the whole Bible. Just take a hold of one thing and use it. And it will change your life. One thing. Just one. What one thing should I believe? Well, you can just believe the one that everybody knows. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. Most people in the world know John 3:16. If you can't quote it, just God loves me. That's enough. God loves me. God loves me. The God who loves me will not want me hurt. The God who loves me will heal me. The God who loves me will prosper me. The God who loves me will cause good things to happen for me. God is my... If you don't even know that one, God is a good God. If that's all you know, you can change your whole life. Oh, God is my Father. That's enough. That's more than enough. Don't need to know everything. Just know one thing. And God will take you by the hand and walk you through life. Amen? Are we together? So, what about God do you know? Sow that into yourself in righteousness. The God in Proverbs 23:24, this father that rejoices over his son talks about the one that he begat. He will have joy in that one who gave birth to you. Did God birth you? Are you born again? That which is born of the Spirit? Then God is saying, I'm going to have reason to have joy because of you. In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, Zephaniah 3, 17. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Amen? In the midst, when does God come and become part of the midst? He says, where two or three are gathered together in what? In unity. So if you want God to be in your midst, then you've got to be a people of unity. Hello? We cannot be in the state of disunity and expect God to be there. God is in our midst because we are a unified force. How beloved, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the anointing oil that was upon the head of Aaron that ran down his beard and down his caps. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, for there God commanded the blessing. The commanded blessing of the Lord is in our midst because we are united. He says he will save when it's in the midst. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. What? He will rest in his love? That's a very powerful word. God resting in his love. I thought I'm the one who's supposed to rest in him. And God says, oh, Suki, not only are you going to rest in me, I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to be at peace in you. Why? Because I'm just relaxed because you are doing all the right things. I'm just going to rest and just watch my son. Huh? You're going to rest? Yes. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Because he's so relaxed. We sing to God. God says, I'm going to sing for you. Oh, wow. I'm going to sing over you. I'm going to celebrate you. Do you know the word of God? Wow. If I go through this path, I'm not going to get to where I need to go. God that we praise says that he will praise us. That's remarkable. How am I praising God and God praising me? When we are surrendered to Him and we are doing according to His will, everything falls in proper order and full circle. The praise we release unto God comes back. For every word that goes out of your mouth comes back to you, right? So the praise that you release out to God comes back to you. So when you say, God, you are so great, God says, son, you're so great. So my greatness is in magnifying the Lord. Hello? The God that you put down means that you are already put down. The God that you exalt exalts you. You remember the Israelites saying, when they went to the promised land, they said, it's exactly like God said. It's like exactly what you said. He said, but we saw the sons of Anak there, and the land is a land that chows down on the people. It eats the inhabitants. Remember that? And then they said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so did they see us. They saw us exactly the way we saw ourselves. If you see yourself great because you are in God, the world will also see you great. The land is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. Guess what? They didn't even get to the land. They were all eaten up. Based on what you say out of your mouth, that's what I'm going to do to you. That's what the Word of God says. That's why you and I need to sow in righteousness the goodness of God into your life. Stop crapping yourself out. I had to go street level so you get it. I'm so terrible, I'm so bad, I'm so whatever. That's exactly what you're going to always be. You will never come to the place of experiencing the righteousness of God and the grace of God, the mercy of God that's available to you. Now, hear me loud and clear. I am not saying celebrate your sin. No. Change the filter that you're listening with. I am not saying stay in that sinful situation. No. What I'm saying is, God, the God of righteousness, when you acknowledge first and foremost that you've got an issue, God will come and help you get to where you need to be, which is daily more and more like Him. For we, as we behold Him, we have been changed into the same image. The reason we don't change is we are busy comparing ourselves with each other. You look at Johnny, you look at Jamie, you look at Sonny, you look at Mary, you look at Jackson, you look at Isaac, you look at whoever. You say, I'm better than that one. God said, be ye holy because I'm holy. The standard of your life, it's not another man. The standard of your life is not another person. You're not created in their image and likeness. You're created in the image and likeness of God. You need to act like God.
Oh, help me, Lord. Brother Kingsley, do you think they're listening? That's the first time I made him smile. Every time, when everybody else is smiling over here, Kingsley's over there very serious. I was thinking about that yesterday morning. I said, when am I going to get Kingsley to smile? He's got it. No, you are what God says you are. And he says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say that. That's what you say. Even when you fall flat on your face, you keep on saying that and you will become what you say. Hallelujah. People don't just change. They change by the words that they speak in agreement with the word of God. Align yourself with God. Get hitched with him and you'll get pulled in the right direction. When you're looking at the world, you start dumbing down your standards. And society becomes your measuring stick. If all the world believes doing something wrong that God's word says is wrong, and everybody believes in it, and they sign up on it, the legislation of the government says that which God says is wrong is now right, that will never make it right. Because God is not going to judge the world based on the legislation of the world. That's why you and I, in spite of what this system is trying to inculcate in the lives of our young people, we need to invest in them and put into them what the Word of God says. If God's Word says homosexuality is wrong, that's what you teach your children. If God's Word says shacking up is wrong, you know what shacking up is, right? I'm wearing 70s on you. Living together. That's wrong. It doesn't matter who says it's right. Amen? Hallelujah. Some guy believing I'm a girl, it's not going to cut the mustard. Praise the Lord. What is truth is truth. Truth is not subjective. And the system of the world since the 50s or 60s have been teaching us truth is subjective. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. No, there's one truth. God's truth. That's it. Praise the Lord. Oh my, how did I get stuck here? Praise the Lord. In Genesis chapter 26, Genesis 26, we talked about that. We touched a little bit on that last Sunday. Genesis 26, starting from verse 12. Genesis 26, starting from verse 12. The Bible tells us about Isaac being in the land of Gerar. God told him not to go
to Egypt, but to stay in Gerar, and that he was going to bless him there in Gerar. And while he was there, the Bible tells us that he said that his wife was a sister, because he was afraid that they were going to kill him and take his wife from him. This was something his father, Abraham, had done also with Sarah, called the wife the sister because he was afraid to die for her. Now that helped to prolong the time for the birthing of Isaac. And I'm confident that Abraham did not sit down with Isaac one day and say, you know, son, let me tell you something that happened, you know, years ago. I you know, shoved your mom out and said your mom was my sister, so I don't die for her. I'm sure he'd never said any such thing. But the son repeated the same exact thing with a wife, Rebecca. And so he was there, and the Bible says there was a famine. And during this famine, he was getting exactly the same results as everybody else in Gerar. But finally, his sin was exposed. That was the mercy of God. Abimelech, which simply means my father is king, that's what Abimelech means, spots him and says, wait a minute, what those two are doing there, that's not brother sister stuff. Calls him in, says, hey, don't lie to me anymore. This woman is your wife, isn't she? Yes, sir. Why did you lie to us? One of my men could have just casually slept with this beautiful lady, and we'll all be messed up because of your what are you trying to pull? The guy says, I was afraid. I thought you guys were going to kill me for my wife. So I said she was my sister. Now that his sin was exposed, the Bible says in verse 12, then Isaac sowed. He'd been there for a long time, Bible tells us. But now he sows in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. He had a hundredfold return when he sowed. Hallelujah. When he sowed after he stopped living the lie. Did you get that? Some people want to sow and expect a hundredfold return in the lie. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes it's not from the lack of sowing. It's that the ground, sow to yourselves in righteousness. You're not sowing in righteousness, and therefore you're not able to experience the mercy of God that's going to give you the hundredfold return. You want the hundredfold return? Be real with God. Be real with yourself. Be real with people. Yes, people may cut you down, may say all kinds of crazy stuff about you, but when you're cast down, the Lord God will pick you up. It's better to be vulnerable and allow God to exalt you than to live a lie and get stuck where you are. Somebody listening. He sowed in that land and received in the same year, not another year, 100-fold. He'd been sowing all this time and not getting anything. But now he has 100-fold. And the Bible says, and the man waxed great, gadol. That's a word that God uses of himself. The Almighty God. God says, when he dealt with his issue, he waxed great, gadol, and went forward. In other words, he'd been going backwards. But God already had blessed him, told him, you're blessed, I'm going to bless you in this land. And in the land where God said, I'm going to bless him, I'm going to bless you, he was going backwards, not going forward. He went forward and grew until he became very great. He became exorbitantly great. In essence, actually, the word very great there, that word very, in our language, we would say speedify. God granted him supernatural speed. Everything that was happening was speedified, was accelerated. Hallelujah. He became very great. Out of nowhere, boom, the guy is everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere you turn, that belongs to Isaac. 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 The guy is getting so great, the people get scared. He was so great, they are overwhelmed. For the Bible says, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. Great store of servants. Every other person was working for him. And the Philistines envied him. May you and I be envied because of our greatness in the mighty name of Jesus. The Philistines envied him because this guy was everything they were not, and they could not explain why. Well, the why was God already said, you're blessed. I'm going to bless you in this land. Somebody say, God, my Father, bless me in this land until I am envied. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't have 10 heads. He was just like any one of them. He came there by himself and his wife, childless. Now his whole story is being changed because the trajectory of his life changed when he now stepped into righteousness, right standing. I belong to God, and therefore God will protect me. God will fight for me. God will help me. He is the Almighty. I am a person of covenant. God said to me, I'll bless you I'm a person of covenant. God said to me, as a person of covenant, he said, verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. That's the first thing about being a person of covenant. I will be with thee. In Isaiah 41:10, he says, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. I am your God. I am with you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. And righteousness means that you are not living in fear. Hello? You're not living in fear. You are coming boldly into the presence of God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for you and I. Amen? For his name's sake. Hallelujah. God says, sojourn in this land and I will be with thee and will bless thee. I will barak thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed, your children, I will give all these countries and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. I'm going to perform the oath. The word of God tells us in Galatians 3:9 that we are blessed with faithful Abraham. When God wants to bless you, he blesses you with the blessings of faithful father Abraham. Wow. Put your hand on your head. Say, Father, my heavenly Father, bless me with the blessings of faithful father Abraham. I receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See, the covenant of God with Abraham was not visible to everyone. It was hidden under his clothing. The covenant of everybody else in the natural world was cuttings on your face, on your hands, a tattoo of some sort. And when they saw that cut, and most covenants were done by the cutting of blood, they say, oh, you've made covenant with that king over there. We don't want to pick a fight with that king, so we won't mess with you. But the proof of the covenant on Abraham was hidden, but the manifestation was obvious. May the blessings of our Heavenly Father be so obvious in your life, in my life, and on this is church forever in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The blessings of God on your life. Anything that you are doing is just blessed, it's just marked with a blessing. He said, I'm going to perform the oath that I made to your father, Abraham. The word of God continues in verse 15, Genesis 26:15. It says, they envied him. But this is the interesting thing. It says, for all the wells which his fathers servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. The wells of his fathers. Now, I want you to hone in right here. The next few minutes of what I'm going to say are of utmost importance to every one of us. Okay? The wells which his fathers had digged, his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, because of their envy, they went and they filled it with rocks, filled it with sand, and just stopped the wells from producing water. What is the idea? If we stop the wells, he will not have water to feed all of his flocks and his herds, and they will all die. He will not have anything for his sustenance. Water is of great importance. But what does water represent? Water represents the Word of God. Amen? Water represents the Word of God. So to stop the wells is to stop the efficiency of the Word of God. And what the enemy wants to do is to make sure that that which you are believing God for is not working for you. So what does he do? Let me back up a little bit. They are not being stopped just when he was there. But the sense that the Word of God is going to release to us is that they were stopped even before he became who he is. Watch this. The enemy tries to sabotage your future by the activities and actions that he puts in motion before you become what you are supposed to be. I don't know if you heard that. The enemy will try to kill babies before they become adults that will produce and do great things. The enemy will try to damage you with words that will play in your subconscious and cause you to self-sabotage. And what you and I must not do is allow anything that does not declare the righteousness of God that I've been gifted with by grace to speak louder than the voice of God. Did you hear that? Are you sure? You must not allow any contrary voice, not even your own voice. The only words that truly matter ultimately are the words that God says about you and what God says you should say. When you're weak, what does he say you should say? I'm strong. When you're poor, what does he say you should say? I'm rich. So why do we keep on speaking our poverty and our weakness and our disease when God says, the sick should say, I'm healed? That he's the one by the anointing who mends and binds together the brokenhearted. Came to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, when John the Baptist was doubting if Jesus was the real deal, when he was in prison, the Lord says, go tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, The lame are walking. Oh, and by the way, tell him the gospel is being preached to the poor. If he doesn't believe it because of the lame and the blind and the deaf, tell him the poor, their lives have been changed. Where did poverty come from? From sin in the garden. Amen? Now, some people may flip because of what I'm about to say. Poverty is not the sign of the blessing. Wealth and riches are in the house of the who? The righteous. So if I'm struggling financially, I need to declare I am righteous in God. I cannot be broke. Amen? Say it. I'm righteous in God. I cannot be broke. Say it again. I'm righteous in God. I cannot be broke. Praise the Lord. Poverty is not part of my portion. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. He giveth us power to get wealth. He gives us the armies. That's the word power there. The armies, the military force, to go get wealth. Some say, I'm a wealth getter. I'm a good soldier. But I'm not entangled with the issues of this life. In essence, for the child of God, it's not the pursuit for wealth. It's that the word of God says, blessings, prosperity is going to pursue you and overtake you. That's the promise of God. You're not going out there looking for it. It's looking for you. Amen. Say, prosperity is looking for me. Find me now. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, far above principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and all spiritual wickedness. I am blessed and highly favored. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. So they stop the wells, and what does he do? The Bible says, and Abimelech said unto Isaac, not only did they stop the wells, it says, they said to Isaac, go from us, leave us. Why? For thou art mightier. You are mightier than we. The word that he uses here for mightier is a word, a Hebrew word, atzam. And this word means that you are more powerful, you are more numerous, you are more, you're more great, you're stronger than we. He's talking about Isaac. Isaac is one man. Hello? Isaac is what? One man. He says, you, Isaac, You're mightier. You're greater. So leave us. Leave us. Guess what he just created? Unemployment. He just created unemployment for himself. Isaac is going to live with his servants that he came with. They were blood brothers and, you know, Israelites like him. But the people of Gerar, you know, they married over there. Some of them might jump ship. But nonetheless, he lives. And what does he do? The Bible says his servants go, he goes into the valley area of Gerar. And when he gets to that valley place, Gerar just simply means a lodging place. He said, and Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Amen? And the headman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headsman, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek. Esek means contention, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna, or strife. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. They didn't fight him. In essence, the word of God is saying, listen, if you keep on doing what you need to do, the enemy is going to give up. Amen? He may contend with you. He may strive with you. But understand that I, the God who blessed you here, will bless you there, will bless you there, will bless you there, because I am with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Amen? So I said, the Lord is with me wherever I go, because the Lord is in me. Hallelujah. Now, I have a communion element cup here, but just imagine that this is a big cup and the juice is inside there, right? Wherever this container goes, the juice goes. Are you with me? You understand? So if I take this juice over here, because it's in the cup, it's here. If I go over here, because it's in the cup, it's there. Well, you are in God and God is in you. And wherever you go, God is. And wherever God goes, you are. So you're blessed in your going out and your coming in. So is there a time that you are not blessed? No. You must never think the curse when you are the blessed. Let me state that again. You must never think the curse when you are the blessed. You know what the curse is? The absence of the blessing. When the blessing is not there, there is a curse. The presence of the blessing means you are not what? Cursed. Are you cursed? Are you blessed? Why are you blessed? Huh? You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why else are you blessed? Be bold, come on. You're a child of covenant. The one thing I've not heard so far is God is with me. Because God is the blessing. Covenant or not, if he's not there, if you are in covenant with some dead king who's no longer here, and the person who succeeded him is a weakling who doesn't know his left from his right, someone will jump on you. When Trump was, I'm not a Trumper, but when Trump was in power, you think Russia would go to Ukraine? No way. But when Biden is there, then Ukraine, and they're now 30 miles away or 60 miles away from Florida with their nuclear submarine. Weakness breeds aggression. But when you've got power behind you, the enemy has to think twice. Do I want to get in trouble? Do I want my head smacked? Understand, the devil is a gangster. And as a gangster, and as he, what did he sow? What was the first thing the devil sowed? He sowed rebellion, didn't he? Huh? And you will always reap what you sow. So guess what? Jesus said, divided against itself cannot stand. The devil's kingdom is divided. Hello? Hallelujah. The devil's kingdom is divided. So you stay in the united force with God and with your fellow brothers in unity. God says, I'm there. And wherever you are, I am. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Amen? So he comes to this new place called Rehoboth. Rehoboth. Rehoboth means wide, spacious places. A place of fruitfulness. Oh, my Lord. Okay, let me just finish. Will you grant me grace? Okay, let me finish. He called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord had made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Because he's made what? Room for us. Say with me, Lord, make room for me. Make room for us that we be fruitful in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Do you receive it? And then he says, when he got to this place, remember, he is redigging his father's wells that have been stopped. He's redigging them. But when he came to Rehoboth, this wide place, and he declared fruitfulness over his life, the Bible says, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. Why do you want to leave? You've come to Rehoboth. Why do you leave? And this is, if you lose anything, don't lose this point. He's going to come to Beersheba, the place of the sevenfold oath or complete oath, covenant. He comes there and he digs a well that was not his father's well. Now it was his well. And the message is this: if you want to get yours, help restore what your father's. Help restore and help somebody else. Then you will come to your own place. If you don't help somebody else, you will never come to your Beersheba, where now Abimelech is going to leave his Gerar and come find him and make an oath with him and says, you're greater, we don't want you to hurt us. We've been nice to you. Now he has a covenant, not only with God, but a covenant with the people of Gerar, who now are in agreement, in final agreement. Say, okay, it is true. We give up. You are really greater than us, and you can take us out anytime you want to. But please, please, let's have peace. Now, let me ask this question. Did you get the point I just made? I told you it was an extremely important point. What was the point I just made? Yes. Take care of the Father's well. Do we want to know our own revival here in Canada? Then the first thing that we need to do is redig the wells of previous revivals. Then we will get our own kind of revival. If we want the experience of doing the greater works, then we must pursue the vision of our Lord Jesus Christ to win souls. Amen. Somebody asked me a question recently. He said, what is your vision? I said, my vision, first and foremost, is to continue doing what my spiritual father did, building an army for the kingdom of God. But what's your vision? That's my first vision. Is my father still here? No. But I am here to carry out the voice of the Lord that was broadcasted through Maurice Cerullo. I start there, then I'll get mine. If you don't honor your fathers, it will never be well with you. We all need the Father's blessing. Amen? Well, there's so much more to say, but I don't want to keep you any longer, so I'm cutting it there. And the Lord graces me to continue this evening, I will do so or talk about something else. But this afternoon, I'm commissioned by the Lord to release the Father's blessing. So I want you to rise with me. Before I pronounce the Father's blessing, is there anyone here today that wants to give their lives to the Lord and say, you know what, Pastor, I've heard the word of God. I need to step into the righteousness of God. I want to be a man or woman of honor and integrity. I want to surrender my life to the Lord. If there's anyone like that here this morning, just raise your hand. I would love to pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. All right. Praise the Lord. Bless you. You can put it down. I want everyone to repeat after me these words. First of all, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to call you my Heavenly Father. Father God, forgive me every sin. Cleanse me, O God, from all unrighteousness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my salvation, and I receive the full impact and benefit of what he did. I receive my salvation. And I also right now receive, because of the gift of righteousness, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, infill me with a God life. Empower me to walk victoriously. I make a decision today by the act of faith to declare Jesus is Lord, Savior, Redeemer, Provider, Healer, my everything, this very moment and always. I declare this so done to the glory of the Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give a good clap offering to the Lord. Now make it funnel. Just lift up those hands like a funnel. Father, I declare, pronounce over your children right now the Father's blessings of Abraham. Oh, Heavenly Father, let your name be hallowed in the heavens. Let it be hallowed in the earth. Let it be hallowed in your sons and your daughters. Let the full impact of your pour freely and richly in your sons and your daughters. Let it flow, O God, like rivers in this your church. Your word says, O God, that in your coming you will rain righteousness. Let the blessings of righteousness be established now. I declare, Father, your blessings, the Abrahamic blessings, to rest upon every soul here present. In Jesus' mighty name, we receive it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad that you came, that you participated in the service today. But at this time, let us come quickly and share, give, sow our offerings. You know, the word for sowing, when it says, and Isaac sowed in the land, the word can be translated, Isaac became pregnant. When you're pregnant, you give birth. Amen? May God cause us all to be pregnant with His goodness. As we sow, as we release from our hands that which God has given to us, let blessings flow in our lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. As we continue to honor God with our giving, is there anyone that doesn't have the elements of communion? You don't have one of these? If you don't have one, please raise your hand and the ushers will make certain that you served. Okay. Rise with me one more time. Did you get one? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the powerful sacrament of the Lord's Supper. When you instituted this sacrament, you had a purpose behind it. Today I declare, Father, that which you purpose this for our Lord Jesus Christ will do nothing except what he saw you doing. I pray that the full impact of it
be manifested in every area, every sphere, every dimension of our lives. That this, your church, will experience the full impartation of what this last communion means, with healings, signs, wonders, and miracles, with provisions beyond measure. We'll receive it all as we remember you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Take off the body and eat. This is a cup of the blessing. By his blood, our sins are taken away as far as the east is from the west. We're cleansed. We healed. We made whole. And we have access because of the blood shed. May God grant you access to every time of your life. And may you know the blessings of God beyond measure. Take and drink in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is good. It's a joy to have you today. You may be seated. We're going to cut off from those that are on YouTube and Facebook and Reddit and Rumble and other platforms at this time. The rest of you be seated. I will say hello to those that are on Zoom. And